Let me say this. I didn't mean just to get off talking with you here, but sometimes Jesus just did that. Many times he did that. Sit down in a little boat and talk with them. Saying, come and let us reason together. But you know, you are not robbed of anything in life. Have you ever stopped to consider it? There's not one good thing that God withholds from them that walk up right before him. Not one good thing. I challenge anybody in the world, anywhere, that hears my voice to come and prove to me one good thing that God has withheld. There is not one. He hath given us all things that pertain unto life. There is not one. When the devil tries to talk with you and deceive you and make you think that God's withholding something good from you, he is only lying to you. God has not withheld passions from you. Let every man have his own wife to avoid fornication. You have your passions. You have your human relation. Marriage, if you marry, there's no sin. You have your appetites. You can eat and drink. You have the good goodies of life. You have the beaches. I know the beaches are contaminated because the garbage man goes by and he puts his garbage out there. And a lot of times you don't want to go down there because you see all that stuff crawling around. Like I saw the vision one time and I looked out and I saw all these people. And they were just like creeping things. You know, they call themselves freaks anyway. Somebody said, I freaked out. And you look out there and I saw all these things. I saw heads with a little tiny, like a little a leg or a hand drawn. Just a little tiny line like. And it was a frame, like this little bone, a skeleton, something. And I saw these heads just walking around. I saw arms walking around, all kind of things. And I never will forget, I saw a big arm go out like that in the midst of them, cut off numbers of them and pull them over to where I was. And then as he pulled them over and working with them, I saw they become great, mighty people, a real specimen of a human being. So, you know, we as people, we don't understand. We do all these things and we say, well, we're catching up. We're not going to be left out. We're going to see this. Whereas we can look at anything that's got virtue. We can think on anything that's beautiful or with virtue, that is to say clean, holy, whatever, to meditate in his laws day and night, to behold things that are good and clean. Everything that the devil gives you is contaminated. It is filthy. It is dirty. It is perverted. I refer to him a lot of times as the spirit of misuse. He misuses the body. He perverts the body. The Bible said, and in that day, burned in their lust one toward another, leaving the natural use of the body. They will become sodomites. So he is the spirit of misuse. And he gives a stimulation. In that he is a spirit, he can activate the body. And he'll stimulate the nerves. Stimulate the nerves to affect your brain to where you go wild and build you up with movies and stories, love stories, and spiced foods and drinks until your nerves just go, your passions, not your nerves, your vibrant parts. As to a verbal inspiration, you just go wild, and instead of having human relation as to a normal level, you just feel like you can eat each other up, especially if you've sprayed with a little bit of the stuff you used to get from a 10-cent store, you know. And you go by somebody, you know, and it smells like a rose garden. And if you could go by that same person maybe about 20 minutes before they did all the spray, you say, whoo, you know. So it's like a hair in the biscuit, as we say. But I'm just telling you the reality of life. God has given you everything, friend. Everything. There is nothing that he hath withheld from you. And the devil will take everything that God's ever given you and misuse it. You take those things and they're misused. And it's a horrible situation. So, let's love the Lord. Let's follow after the image of righteousness. Let's seek to bear the image of the heavenly. Let's eradicate the filth and the infiltration of Lucifer's thoughts and his desire and his stimulation of life. And let the Holy Spirit stimulate us. And let the angelic form and presence of God activate us until our human senses are so stimulated. We just love God and we just want to eat Him up. The Bible said, taste and see if the Lord's good. Eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. You know, just to where we just feed on the Lamb of God. So I just said all these things in respect as to what was said there. I didn't mean to get to preaching on it. It says here, did everyone go to hell when they died? That is, before Jesus died for sins. Well, someone would say yes and no. And you know, that's the way people get by in life. They say yes and no, so you can't never pin them down. You don't know whether they're right or wrong, and you just have to go right on listening to what they say. So, somebody gives a prophecy, and they say, thus saith the Lord, you're going to die day after tomorrow, unless, and if you do, and you make it through, you know I told you. So you really don't know what they're saying. But the prophet said to the man of the Old Testament, the king said, thus saith the Lord, you're going to die. That's it. Set your house in order. And of course, when he turned his face to the wall and pleaded with God and asked God for grace, then God heard. And then the prophet came by and said, thus saith the Lord, you've obtained mercy, you're going to live. So it says, did everyone go to hell? Well, there are biblical definitions. There are Greek definitions, Hebrew definitions, Arabian definitions, and the Bible is a derivative from all of these things, in that some things like Daniel came from one part and another part of the Bible came from another language, and on and on and on. And different applications are made as to what we refer to as hell. People go around and they teach that they say that when you say hell, it's parabolic, that it is a parable. And they say that you don't really go into a fire. You know, that hell is the grave. So all you do is just go into the grave. Well, that's not right. Perhaps you remember reading in the Bible where it said, and the rich man lifted up his eyes from the grave and said, I'm tormented down here while I lay in this hole. No, that wasn't the King James rendering. He said, and he lifted up his eyes in hell, and he saw Abraham afar off, and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he said, send Father Abraham, send Lazarus, so that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in these flames, he said. Hell, having been created for the devil and his angels, in the time of God's anger, when God got upset at Lucifer, he created that place for him and determined he was going to punish him. But because of men being wicked and following Lucifer, the Bible said, hell, even hell from beneath, hath moved itself for to meet thee at thy coming, and hath enlarged itself without measure. When Moses spoke of it, he said, these that have done wrong, let the earth open up, if I be a man of God, and let them go down to the pit quickly. And the Bible said it happened. So did they go to hell? It was referred to as a place called Sheol. And it was referred to as having two different compartments, as to one being hell and the other being paradise. And obviously, from what I can tell of the Bible, there was a great gulf between these two places, as of the Old Testament, the time of Lazarus. For it said that Abraham said, even if I had the compassion, which Abraham would have had, to come and try to help you, said, I couldn't do that. said, because there's no way that we in this world can get to that world. Well, there is a great gulf between us. And obviously, from what I understand, the great gulf is what is referred to as the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit, where the Bible speaks of these that wander. They wander in dry places, seeking rest and can't find it. The blazing inferno of hell, the leaping flames, the terrors of God, angelic beings seem to be in the presence of this, not as to a consummation as to hell, but they seem to be in this dry place as to reference of water, spiritual water. See, if Lazarus had went down to the man in hell, if he had had a tanker of water, he'd have never gotten near him. It had been consumed, it had vaporized, it went away. So one tiny drop of water could not have done him any good. But as to the spiritual water, someone would say, that Brother Pike, he was wanting a drink of natural water. Well, let's look at it like this. Was the rich man's body in hell? Was it in hell? No, it was in the grave. For the Bible said that he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And it is said that the angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. Hope I can talk to you like this for a few minutes since we got started on this. It's like the little story that I've heard. You've heard me tell it. A man went over to visit with a friend, sat down in the room. The man was very sick. He sat there to be a consolation to him. While he was sitting there and the man in his sufferings, the man that came to visit fell off into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he went into a trance-like or a vision, and he saw something come through like a broken pane of the window, maybe where a glass was missing or whatever. Said, and immediately he recognized it as to be the devil, a little image. And said it came in, and when it came in, all of a sudden he looked toward the bed. He saw his friend laying there, and he saw his friend's soul leap out of his bosom like that. And when he saw it leap out, he said he saw it screaming and running, and it ran and ran and ran around the room, and said the devil was right behind it. This little image was right behind it, and said he pursued it until eventually it caught it. And said, when it caught it, said, immediately out the window the image went. That's the same way it came. Said, and it was so startling, he woke up or come out of the trance. And said, when he come out of the trance, his friend was dead. His friend was dead. And like my granddad said, I've related this to you, my granddad apparently called to the ministry and refused to go. He said, just before he passed away, he said, someone came in through his window, was laying on the bed, and said he went all through his room and said he searched and he searched. Said he looked under the pillars, under the bed, everywhere, and said he turned and said, no, it's not here. And said he went out the window. Of course, my granddad died. So I said all that to say this, see, was the rich man's body in hell? Well, his body was in the grave. Was Lazarus' body in heaven? No, it was in the grave. Was Abraham's body then in heaven? There's no record where it was taken to heaven. Moses and Elijah was found in glory in their body. But Betty and I have been with you. Some of you have viewed the tomb of Abraham. You stood right there at the tomb and looked at it. Abraham's there in the tomb, so is Sarah. How is it then Abraham is way over yonder in heaven somewhere? when it said, and he said, Father Abraham, it is because his angelic being, his inner man, as the Bible calls it, went away to that world. That is the proof that when you lay down to sleep, that you don't die. Your body goes to sleep. That is not death. Though it's called death, it is only asleep. Lazarus sleepeth. I go to awake him. That is, when you die or go to sleep, your spirit departs. It departs from your body, your angelic being, and it goes off either to paradise as a temporary rest until God brings it into its place of everlasting estate. And if you're not a Christian, then immediately when you go to sleep, your spirit goes into a temporary torment called hell, because hell is not eternal. Hell is not eternal. For the Bible said, death and hell delivered up the dead that was in them, which means only the dead is in hell. They that die in the body, the body's in the grave. But the spirit that departs from the body, they are considered the dead. For the Bible said the dead know not anything that is as to depart in the grave. So, in that the dead don't know, they don't say anything. David said, I can't praise you in the grave. So the angel is thus confined to this fire, this power of consummation. And that the coming of the Lord, when the lake of fire comes into view, which is the second death. And of course, when the Bible says we pass from death unto life, it is speaking of the second death, which means our angelic being has been forever sealed by the Spirit of God and cannot go into the fire. Which means it cannot be separated. Our spirit, our angelic being, can never be separated from the eternal fountain of life or the spirit of life, which is God, our inner being, our angelic being. That is, we pass from death unto life. So, that means that at death, your body goes into the grave. Your spirit goeth back to God who gave it, and the body is dead without the spirit, or it is asleep and can be awakened. My way is just going and going. It took a long time to get into these things tonight. But this is the kind of things that Jesus expounded to them as he sat upon the rock or on the mountainside or in the little boat to explain to them the ways of life, that they might have a thorough understanding so that their faith could be right. So then, your angelic being as a Christian, though you have not died in your body so far as being planted in a grave, yet you have died by the body of the Lord Jesus as to God's beholding you, and you are planted in a grave in water. For water is a grave where they bury sailors and men at sea. So God has buried you beneath the watery grave. And at death, your spirit went back to God who gave it. Your angelic being, which means that you are no longer in the world. And the bastard image is now dead and buried. And as he was delivered for your offenses and that you sinned against God, he hath been raised again for your justification as the second man Adam, that you might bear the image of the second man Adam, as the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And in that you lost your life through sin, the life you now live is the given eternal life as to the life of the Son of God, who has refurbished. So, I said that to say this. You are innocent. Your angelic being can never sin again. And sin is of the spirit. The flesh profiteth nothing. All sin is without the body. So it is the sin of the angel or of the spirit. And your spirit is innocent like a little child. Jesus would take the little children, he would set them upon his lap or his knee, and he'd say, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he'd say, "Don't sin against one of these. For I say unto you that their angel doth always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Or that is, I say unto you that their spirit, their angelic part, is not accountable for sin. It is not accountable. It is innocent and cannot be accountable until it comes to the knowledge of sin. For unless you know, you cannot sin. For the Bible said, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die." So he says their spirit has never yet entered into the world. It's still in the presence of God. It's still innocent. And if the little tabernacle, if there would be a defect in it, and the angelic being moved out of it to lay the little tabernacle down, as such as do happen a lot of times, then the little angel goes back to God who gave it and never has left God to start with, because as long as it's innocent, it's in heaven. You know, I know that's a little bit hard to understand. Maybe when I say those things, maybe it's kind of hard for you to understand what I'm saying. And it makes it hard for the minister because it takes so much time to detail it. And Satan makes the flesh restless after a little bit and stirs up the mud in the pond. That's the old carnal mind. And you can't get to the good water, that is to say, the mind of Christ. But a little child, to give you some idea maybe of what I'm trying to say, the little child is innocent. If it died, it would not have to be born again. You wouldn't have to go through all these ritualistics of Catholicism or Judaism or whatever you'd want to call it. All that was symbols. Paul said, "I'm afraid of you. You observe days and times and seasons and all of these things." All them things is just a shadow of things that are spiritual. So I say that they are innocent. They're already in the presence of God. As a proof of that, Jesus was as a little child. Jesus said, "Unless you will come as a little child, you shall nowise enter the kingdom of God," which means be innocent. Come to the state of innocence. So Jesus, he looked at Nicodemus. He was innocent. He was still like a little child. From his childhood, he had never entered into sin. So he said to Nicodemus, he said, "No man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven." And he said, "The Son of Man who is in heaven." That is, the little child is still in heaven. His angelic being is still in heaven. Jesus' angelic being was still in heaven. It had never come into this world as to sin. And never did come into this world. He said to Lucifer, he said, "You have no part in me. You've never touched my spirit. You've never contaminated me. Though my body is made after the image of the first man, Adam, as to the image of the bastard child." And they said, "He's a bastard child. He don't have a father." And he went to Calvary to do away with the image of the bastard child. Because though he knew no sin, he was made in the image of sin. They might make an end of sin, that we might have a heavenly father. So, the little child is innocent. So your angelic being is now innocent. I preached this morning, a little bit, I preached, that before the law of sin and death, there was innocency. That's how Enoch could be translated. That's why man could live 500 years, 600 years, 900 years. Enoch could live 300 years. Why? Because he was innocent. He was innocent. There was no such thing as the law of knowledge of God's desire as to right and wrong. So this is what we're working for. Before the law of sin and death, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Then came the law of sin and death, and men died. And Paul said, "I was alive without the law." Then the law came, sin revived. That is, I got a knowledge of right and wrong. It was accounted unto me as sin. Sin arose, and I suddenly saw the infiltration and the contrariness in my body. Within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. I saw all of a sudden the contrariness in my flesh. And I saw the law of sin and death. And then I saw within my heart the law of life, of liberty. And then I saw continual warfare between my inner angelic man and my outer being of the bastard image. in which Satan dwelled. Whereas the Bible said, with the brightness of the coming of the Lord is to the knowledge of the revelation of the Son of God, I will destroy the image of the evil one with the brightness of my coming. That is the consummation. As to the brightness of the great light, when the Bible said he comes after the millennium, that the mountains flee away, the sea flees away, everything flees away. There's nothing left because they transformate just like that. They dissipate, they go away. There's no more. Every element of your environment, including the elements of your bodily chemistry, every one of them will be a flame. We'll tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. That is, they'll turn back to the original elements. And you that are holy and godly will continue your form as to the image of Christ Jesus, as to your originality, being changed back to the glorious image of the perfect man and woman that was in the garden. So then Peter speaks of it as the elements being on fire and the heavens being on fire. He said the heavens being on fire, the elements of which you are composed and the atmosphere is composed and the earth is composed, said they shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth and all therein shall utterly be burned up or consumed. And he said at the coming of the Lord, he said it will come. Somebody said, well, guys, it's going to slip away. I'll slip in and slip away with us. Nobody's never going to know anything about it. You know, the rapture, the translation. We're just going to ease away and nobody will ever know it. No, it's not right. See, a lot of them things might be good as to theory for theologians and all this kind of thing, theology, but your theory is no good in the view of facts. The fact is, the Bible said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The Bible said, and the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Not only are you going to know, but if anybody's asleep, they're going to be woke up. There's going to be such a devastating blow of a great noise and thunder when those bombs start bursting and the stars falling from heaven. Revelation 8, when the censer is thrown into the earth, the blood coming off the seat of atonement. And as it said, there were voices. In the book of Revelation said, and there was voices. And there was fire. And there was all of this stuff mingled with blood. It said, and it was mingled with blood. Since we're just talking to you, I might as well make reference to that for a few minutes. You'll notice in Revelation 8, blood comes off the seat of atonement. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. We have some of this, of course, on tape. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. That's the end of the days of the Gentiles right there. The 144,000 has already been sealed in Revelation 7, as I taught the other night. And here is the great multitude already in heaven. You can read it right there at the latter part of Revelation 7. Even in the 17th verse, for the Lamb is which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living waters, fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then the blood comes off the seat of atonement. The angel takes the censer. He puts fire in it. He throws it into the earth, which means now is the judgments of God, because I am not looking at you anymore through the blood of my Son, and my eyes are so pure I cannot behold iniquity, so in that I cannot look upon sin. The brightness of my coming and the blaze of my wrath is going to eradicate you before my eyes, that there be nothing left. The heavens passed away, the earth passed away, the sea passed away with the brightness of his coming, that as to only myself can remain. If you are the body of the Lord Jesus, the Bible said, and he alone, he dwells within the midst of that light. And if you're part of that light and that you are the body of the Lord Jesus, then you remain and you're one with his coming. But otherwise, everything that is not will dissipate, turn back to its originality, go away. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, so far as the natural carcass of man or his environment, tangible matter. So it says here that it is thrown into the earth and there's thundering, lightning, voices. Whereas this agrees with the scripture, whereas the scripture says, if you have come, once you have come to the knowledge of God, and then if you turn away, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation that shall devour his adversaries. For God is a consuming fire. So you can see here that God is going to burn you up because he can't even look at you. The only way he beholds us today is that Jesus has taken away the sins of the world. And he still beholds us as in the Garden of Eden, in that pure condition that he hath made us in. So if you'll notice, it said, and there were voices. Okay, now we say again, what is meant by the voices? What does he mean, and there were voices? What he is saying is, and there were screaming voices. All of a sudden, people begin to scream and say, oh my God, screaming, I'm burning to death. I'm torn up. You know, I'm bleeding. Oh my God, my children are gone. They were screaming. There were voices of all kind of pleading, of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. For he said, and there were voices when the censer was cast into the earth. He said, and thunderings. And what does he mean by thunderings? He means the bursting of the bombs. The rumbling, the roaring of the mighty bombs. Where does this come from? Right in Revelation 7, you can read it, the first part. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. See, they were going to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there was sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And if you give me just a minute or two of comment, I'll tell you what I'm trying to say here in a few words. This is why that I say that the ending of the days of the Gentiles comes immediately following Revelation 7. God can do nothing until he gets Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. That is to say, as soon as Lot went out, the fire and brimstone came. God can do nothing until he gets the church out, for with the salt of the earth. Now, and it really is a Sodom and Gomorrah now. Even the government's made allowance for it. So, with this censer cast into the earth, it comes immediately in Revelation 8. Because in Revelation 7, the previous scripture, the great multitude is sealed and in the presence of God. They've been raptured. John saw them in heaven. These are 144,000 of the Jews that he saw on earth sealed in their forehead with the name of the Heavenly Father in their forehead, which means Jesus. They finally recognize Jesus as the Messiah come to pass. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is to say, in their mind they accept it. All right, we can go on to say, as we did the other night, that seal is against the mark of the beast because it's to be in the mind or in the head. They go through the tribulation, they're not hurt. All right, so then immediately following that, as to the seal, it says, and the angel throwed the censer into the earth. He cast the censer into the earth that was filled with the wrath of God's indignation, in that it was the little coals from the golden altar. I wish we had time to elaborate on it. Find it in the Old Testament just before they go in behind the curtain as to the holies of holies. You find this little golden altar having to do with the Word of God, and that God is the Word and he is a consuming fire. And it is dropped into a censer, and it is mixed with a mixture that is called the prayers of the saints, in that the Bible said the prayers of the saints are bottled up as sweet-smelling incense before God. So it is the sweet-smelling incense of your agonizing prayer day and night. It's kept, and all of a sudden it's mixed with the word of God's wrath. And then the thundering of his voice comes forth. As John said, it sounds like many waters. So, as to make my comments kind of compound and short, it says here that this censer was thrown into the earth, and what it is telling us is that the four winds that were on the four corners of the earth, which are the doctrines that you've heard me refer to as Daniel's four winds wrestling over the waters. This is the same vision that Daniel saw. But it was sealed up in Daniel's time, couldn't be explained. In John's day, it said, see that you seal the vision not. It's for the end time, Daniel. Now we're here with John, it's the end time. It's not sealed. Said John, seal not the book. The seals are now broke. The seven seals is gone. The veil has been rent. There at Calvary, the Messiah has come. He's rent the veil. He separated the spiritual world from the natural world now. The body's rent in twain. Made it himself both Lord and Christ, and rent the veil as in twain or in two, to say, separated the body from the spirit, that my angelic being might rest with God in heaven, and my natural body as to the first man Adam, as the bastard child image, might be under the judgments of God as to the crucifying of the body of Jesus, and in laid away, buried within the watery grave, his name put there on me as a seal. God never look upon me again. All right. Hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm having to go through this real fast because there's so much to it. Great is the mystery of godliness, Paul said, and I made a steward of the mysteries. And he said, at the sounding of the last trump, the mystery of God should be finished. So then, what is the thundering? It is the bursting of the bombs. The four winds are now turned loose to hurt the earth because the 144,000 is sealed. And it said, don't hurt the earth, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in the forests. Don't do nothing till the seal comes. The whole tribe of Israel shall be saved. Out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer, not to save a bunch of Jewish people, but the tribes are 12 sons. That's the house of Israel, which means the children of Jacob. I say again, whose name was changed from Jacob to Israel after the wrestling with the angel. So he comes, and the whole house of Israel is saved. The 144,000, they're sealed. Then all of a sudden, they're caught up in Revelation 14, standing on the mountain, and Jesus, as to the name, returns to them, as to the head to the body. As it is with us in this day, there's a spiritual Jew, Christ, returning as a revelation to the mystic or the spiritual body of the true Jew to get them ready for the translation. All right, so then what was the voices? It was people screaming. They were just screaming. What was the thundering? The four winds have been turned loose now. Let me say this right quick. The four winds of Daniel wrestling over the waters. That is to say doctrines, winds of doctrines. The Bible said not being carried about by every wind of doctrine. The four winds, sometimes we liken them unto to the four seas. Four seas, north, east, west, south. All four corners of the earth. The northern corner, the southern corner, the eastern corner, the western corner. And we say the four seas of the winds, Catholicism. That is Catholicism coming from the south. And then we say communism. That is communism coming from the north. And we say Christianism, in that the Bible said salvation is of the Jew, coming from the east. And then we say capitalism. That is the western world, or the government of this capitalistic side that we're living on here in the natural. These four winds wrestling over the people, these four powers wanting to get control of the entire world, to rule the world. Think it over now. Everyone that I named is a power from every corner of the world, and they are trying to get control. These four powers, every one of them, are individually feeling that they're to rule the world. So then it's voices. They're turned loose to fight. Star War. It goes into the earth because it was to hurt the trees. And there were voices and thunderings, the bursting of the bombs, the people that are mutilated, the voices, and lightnings, voices, thundering, lightning. And what is the lightning? The exploding of the bombs. The exploding of the bombs, just like when thunder rolls and the lightning flashes, the friction of the hot and cold. I beheld Lucifer as lightning fall from heaven. The war, it's the thunders. And in the time of the seven thunders, it was made known as to the mystery that John couldn't let us know. It was made known to him. Couldn't let us know, and said would be revelated at the end time. That is to translate the church. So the thunderings, what is the thunderings? It's the bursting of the bombs. And what is the lightning? It's the frictional sparks and the sharp flashing as the fire breaks forth of the elements. And an earthquake. What is the earthquake? He said, I'll not only shake the earth as in the days of Moses, I'll shake the heavens. The impacts of the atomic and hydrogen bonds and such will literally shake the stars out of the socket. And that is not true stars such as the sun. They hold themselves up of their own power, of their own light. They are as the sun, the day star. They have their own light. But all of this nickel and rock as the planetary life, and all of these other things that are floating around that is nickel, polished nickel, that are reflectors to help light the heavens, they look like part of the galaxy and part of the heaven, and they are, so far as observation, but they're only held there by the light and the strength of the sun and those stars that have light. And when this vibration comes as to the thunder, as to the earthquake, this little ball that's called earth that's floating out there among them, it'll be shook, and the vibrations right on through the elements as it goes through the ocean, as it goes into the elements, and it goes right on as the tremors go right on, as the lightning, as this thundering thing, when you hear these jets break the sound barrier, and it goes right on until it affects the other planetary a style of life as to whatever source, if there is any life on it. It goes on to affect these planetary bodies, and then they're blown to pieces. When they're blown to pieces, they come down in fragmental parts. And as they come down, they are so swift and moving through the frictional powers that are around us, they flame up. And when they flame up, then all of the potentials of burning is melted out. And then they are brimmed. They are brimmed just like the coral in the sea when all of the potentials are taken out. And you see the brimstone of the sea. They are brimmed. And then they come falling down as hot metals upon humanity as fire and brimstone. Because they're made out of nickel, rock, and such things. So then, what is it? An earthquake, the earth being torn to pieces. And the Bible says concerning Israel, there was an earthquake, so great an earthquake. So great, the Bible said, is such as the world has never known. And the great city divided into three parts. And it said, and stones, the weight of a talent, hailstones, fell from heaven, and men cursed God. So then what is this? Notice now, it said, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound, bringing on these, the bottomless pit open, the tribulation period. It says the first angel sounded, and there followed hail, that of a hailstone, remember, over Father. What is the hail? It's the bombs, it's the shrapnel, it's buildings blown to bits. The elements, the stars, all of these things. It says, and hail, just like shrapnel in a battle, and fire, the blaze of this bomb, and it was hail, that is shrapnel, and it was mingled with fire. It was a burning blaze, like when they dropped that bomb on Hiroshima, they said even people become human torches. It says, and it was mingled with blood. How is it mingled with human blood? Because it has blown them apart. It has blown them into smithereens, and they're flying all through the heavens. And as the parts of the human body, the bloody mass comes down, it's intermingled with all the shrapnel and all of these other things of the thunderings, the lightnings, the earthquakes, all of these voices of screaming and it coming down as blood and shrapnel upon the earth, falling back down, blown up in the air, ships, planes, all kind of things, the cities of the nation crumbling to the ground. It said there were fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up. All green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. You can see the bumming there again as to blowing up the ships, the missiles and whatever. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Some of you have seen wormwood, where worms go in and out the wood. This is, again, the brimstone, where the potentials has been burned out as to a brim and as to a worm-like thing. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it in the light, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. And then he goes on to say that the fifth angel sounded, the bottomless pit was opened up, and these different things happen. We might read this a little bit in closing. I guess I better read this. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts at his hail, moving for to meet thee at thy coming. All these spirits are now released that's been pinned up there. And out, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded unto them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. That is to say, the 144,000 has been sealed against this. And they were sealed so they would go through this and not be hurt. And the church is already caught out. But these other men that are left, it's obvious that these are tormenting spirits also, as to a dimension. For it didn't hurt the trees. And it, if you'll notice, and to them it was given that they should not kill them. It doesn't kill men as to the flesh. It's a torment. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. That is, as an injection, as to an inner thing. In those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplate, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sounds of the wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there was sting in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. If you remember, they called that Apollo, and they shot it to the moon. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. One war is past, and behold, there come two wars more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the head of these horses were as the head of lions. And out of their mouth they should fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their powers in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now, we could go on and go on because that calls for a lot of teaching right there. But trying to answer one or two of these questions, you can see that we're almost to the tribulation period. You that are not going to make the translation, you'll be going through it, and then you'll understand better what we say. So, as to the question, as to trying to make it clear, there's a great gulf, and it was there until Calvary, and then at Calvary, even some of the human bodies, as to the patriarchs of old, was actually resurrected and walked around town, and they saw them, some of them were recognized, and then these individuals were caught up with Jesus. My, we'd have to say so much about that. But we go back to the fact that was Abraham in the tomb? Is Abraham in the tomb? Was Abraham one of them that got up at the resurrection and walked around? Was Lazarus in the tomb? Was he one that actually got up out of the grave and went to paradise? See, a lot of mysterious things. And then we say, the parable was spoken of in Jesus' day. So it was after Calvary. Could he have then been speaking that this occurred so many thousands of years or hundreds of years after the death of the rich man? Why was he speaking of this? Where when he died, he went to Abraham's bosom, and immediately the man lifted up his eyes in hell. If so be that it was at the very first, then that would be before Calvary. So they couldn't have resurrected and went up there. But if it was after Calvary, then that means a long time. It sounds like it would be a strange way to say it. He died and then lifted up his eyes in hell. That's to say that it seemed like he was saying that it was right there at the very beginning when the thing occurred. So a lot of mysteries, a lot of things to be said, a lot of things to wonder about, but Jesus knows it all. Let's stand together. That's why that I spend so much time of my life with him, because some men can hear a little bit and they can go home and they can be happy. Then the Bible speaks of going on to a full reward. Some men can't do that. Like Elijah, they live with God day and night because they had many questions they wanted answered. They wanted a complete satisfaction of their soul. They wanted to know all about it. They wanted to understand it thoroughly of everything, to where there was not a question left. And he'll give you that. He'll satisfy you. So don't let death be a terror to you, because all of our life we're subject to bondage as to fear of death, but now we pass from death unto life. How then can we fear death? As to sleep, no man fears sleep. He goes to rest. Why then should we be afraid? Jesus will come and awaken us at the right time. We are not those that sorrow, as would be some folks, as to our loved one's departure, because some sorrow as to an eternal loss. But we just know our loved ones are going to sleep. Our sorrow is until the morning, and then we'll awaken them. I believe Joe, I thought I saw Joe back there, Joe Pike. Maybe he stepped out, but he was with us. I believe that was Joe. It's kind of hard for me to tell back there. Glad to have Joe in service if that was him. All right, you love the Lord? Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest,
it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul.
Remember one thing. We've taught you in the past that, and all of these before the law, God said concerning Daniel, thou shalt rest in thy lot. And the Bible said in all of these, having died in the faith, embraced the promise in that God said to our father Abraham, blessing I shall bless thee, and multiplying I shall multiply thee, and I shall make thy seed as the sands of the seashore innumerable. So then we, as Daniel, are in that day, those, they rested in hope. They died in faith. They died in faith, not having received Jesus Christ, the Spirit of promise, but it was promised unto Abraham that through Isaac, thy seed, even Jesus, all nations shall be blessed. So his Spirit is now in our heart, for Peter said concerning that, and this is that the prophet Joel said would come to pass. For in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit, even my Spirit, God's Spirit, through Christ, the Christ Spirit, upon all flesh, as to mercy, as to grace, the rain upon the just and the unjust, the water on the tare and the wheat. I will pour this out as to grace. My Spirit is poured out, that is to say, grace will be given to all men, and I will spare them when ordinarily I would cause the earth to open up and swallow them up. But I will spare them that I might show them my love, and that I might, the Bible said, and surely the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance, that I might draw them to repentance, and the elect of the church will come during this period of time. After that, I'll lift my grace, and it'll only be through the church. The others will be destroyed. And with the brightness of my coming, even as the understanding of God, I will eradicate the infiltration from the human body, destroying the man, even Lucifer, that sits in the temple, even the body, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Weatherman controlling the weather, presidents saying what we must do, kings giving the order, many other things, educational system. I'll destroy him as to the tree of reasoning and knowledge. Hell, there's so much we say. But just remember this. When Jesus came, Peter stood up. Jesus went down to the souls in prison, loosed them appointed unto death. That was one of the things. For he loosed them that was appointed unto death. Heard them in a day accepted, which was Calvary. Succored them in that day, that was Calvary. He accepted us through the blood. Door open in heaven, the rent veil. Given to us in Christ before the world ever was, before knowledge, as to elect, predestination. Brought to light as to the rent veil of Calvary, that we might see a light of understanding, our eyes of understanding being enlightened, to comprehend the light that the darkness of the intellectuals of the Old Testament could not comprehend. Comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, the length. All these things down through the tutoring of the church ages as to the sevenfold light is in the end time, which is the transformation as to the scientists of this world said that the sun will go into a nova. Over having to do with the bride. That's what it has to do with, the word. Then it'll sink away. When it goes away, it has to do with the translation. The world will immediately freeze over the coldness of intellectual reasoning as to death. Hot or cold. That's where we're at. The mist is finished. The compound teachings of the sevenfold church age is the ever angelic messenger given as to the latter rain and the former rain, bringing us all of it together, as to the former rain and the latter rain, and as to the spirit and as to the body redemption, as to the rent veil from Calvary, as to the loss of the Jews, as to the coming in of the Jews, as to resurrection, for the Bible said, for casting away the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead, which means the body redemption. A lot we've said on that, a lot we could say on that is to the rent veil, the separation of the Lord and the Christ. So we see that we're on this side of Calvary, and the promises now come. They were shut up under the law. Couldn't be made perfect without us. For the comer under those things could not make them perfect. For no one was made perfect by those things which were a shadow of the things to come. But now he that is perfect has come. And the Bible said, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. We have seen through a glass darkly, as through an intellectual concept of shadows. But now we're seeing as to the light of God face to face, as it was with Rebecca. When in the secret chambers, the veil was thus moved. And we're not seeing through a glass darkly of the intellectual reasoning of the death veil that fell over Eve's eyes. As to intellectual reasoning or the infiltration of the body that stands between our angelic inner man and God, the veil has been rent. It's been taken away. Because we've entered into the secret chambers of our husband, our mother, and she was taken into the chambers of the mother. And we've come into wedlock. And when a person comes into wedlock, the expose of the human person is thus there, especially that of the wife, as to reproduce the image of that one that loves her and of whom she loves. So, that is to say, the veil has been rent in twain. And Isaac moved the veil, and then he beheld the beauty of his companion. For that's what the Bible means for it to be. And we sing that song, Cross Over to the Other Side of Jordan. Can we sing that thing? Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, the people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach to the other side, you shall sing it with me now. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall sing it again. Cross over to the altars are open. If you'd like to come to the altar, you can come. All on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach to the other side, you shall be free. Cross over to the other side. Can you cross over the carnal mind? To be carnally minded is death. Death comes from intellectual reasoning. And that reason is knowledge that comes from the tree of knowledge. And from that time, if you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Other side you shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people shall be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. When you reach the other side, he'll tell you all about me. Cross over to the other side of the world, the Lord to Joshua said, other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee.
And when you reach the other side, you'll learn about me. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, won't find nobody dead. Can you sing with me? Your bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you'll know all about me. All you got to do is just get over the carnal mind. And to be spiritually minded is life. To eradicate the old corruption of the carnal mind. To do away with the infiltration. Bring the mind of words of spirit and life. Thoughts of spirit and life into your heart. For to believe as to that of the knowledge that came from the tree of death is to die. But to reverse that believing, and to believe in the tree of life as to the words of life, as to the understanding of life, it will translate, transform, and transfigure. Every genetic will change the life from glory to glory as this great potential is released from the inside. Heavenly treasure that's in earthen vessels. God wants to do something for you. We're here tonight so He can do something for us. Just another service. Just another sermon. And the old ritualistic continues on. No, it's not like that at all. You come to the house of God, we've heard God speak. We either received it or we missed it. If we received it, then are we the elect of God and we'll be changed, because this is what will change us. Faith has to this knowledge, even the spirit of revelation. And if we missed it, then it was hid. And the Bible said, if it be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Having ears, they hear the words of the minister, it's the oral expression. But having ears, they don't have ears to hear as to the spiritual ears. Having eyes, they don't have eyes to see as to the heavenly things, because they are a people of this dominion and a people of this perspective of life, and they are not a people of the heavenly orient of the world to come, or the spiritual world as to the angelic side, as to the inner man. So that means that it is hid from them. Satan has blinded their eyes of understanding, and that they are intellectually in darkness and death. They can't comprehend this light. But you that are children of light and predestinated for the other world and the creatures of the other world, you can comprehend this great, mighty light, and it will change you into the eternal God that He means for you to be. For ye are gods. Ye shall perish as men because you don't understand. You haven't listened. You haven't applied yourself. And before this, of course, you couldn't apply yourself until this is made known. So let's get our minds off our faces, off of our figures, off of our form, off of our wealth, off of all the tangible, gullible sides of life, and let's look into the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit, let our conversation be in heaven, and meditate in His laws day and night to cast down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, to meditate in His laws day and night. All right, let's sing another chorus. Let's just don't wander around like an old demon spirit. Just wander, wander, wander here and there. They wander through dark places, intellectual reasoning, dry places, no spiritual refreshing. They wander till they kill, till they steal, till they go to the electric chair, till they commit suicide, until they do some horrible, hideous thing, and then they're no more. Let's don't do that. Let's love the Lord. Let's eradicate from our mind those troubling spirits. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Believe in God. And we say another course or two. After all this life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that the Lord said He's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Can you sing it with me?
For after all this life is over and my burdens have been lifted and I stand upon the mountain oh so tall, looking over into the city that the Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Can you sing it with me? After all this life is over and my burdens have been lifted and I stand upon the mountain oh so tall, looking over into the city that the Lord said he's preparing. The grace that I... Can you sing it one more time? After all... After all the life is over and my burdens have been lifted and I stand upon the mountain oh so tall, looking over into the city that the Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Can you sing it one more time with me? After all this life is over and I stand upon the mountain oh so tall, looking over into the city that the Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I... Just one more time. Don't you believe you can? For after all life is over and my burdens have been lifted and I stand upon the mountain oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me grace and I can make it. Just one more time. For after all this life is over and my burdens have been lifted and I stand upon the mountain of so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Let's lift our hands up together. I appreciate you being here with us today. It's always our privilege to come here and minister to you. Oh, how beautiful are the words of Christ Jesus. And they went to hear, and they said, never man spake like this man. I hear Jesus speak to me. I hear him speaking so many times to the people. And never man spake like that man. And the songwriter said, and his words were so sweet that the birds hushed their singing. His words are so sweet that the birds simply say, I don't feel like singing while he's talking. When he finishes, I'll sing again. But right now, the sweetest song was the song of the Lamb. So while we've got our hands lifted up, eyes looking to heaven, and we're carrying this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels, let's thank God. Let's thank God. The whole world is in blindness. And they cannot hear what we hear nor see what we see. Whereas the Bible said, many great men, prophets of old, great, mighty men, they have desired to hear the words that you hear and see the things that you see. So then as we stand here together, our hands lifted up, I'm going to ask Brother Denny McLean to come and pray with us. As Denny comes to pray with us, let's lift our hands up and let's just think tonight about the glory of glories. The glory of glories. Don't you want to forever be healthy and young and strong and full of life and rich and powerful and mighty, great? Don't you want to do that? Folks, you don't have to die. God hath no pleasure in death. Oh, don't that make you feel good? He came to make an end of sin, the law of sin and death, took away all the pressures, all the weights, so that you can just rejoice forevermore. Rejoice, why? Because we are eternally alive forevermore. Never going to die, never going to come into condemnation. Never. You say, oh, but I can't believe that, Brother Pike. But you've got to believe that. You've got to believe. Unless you believe, you shall die in your sins. You've got to believe that. Coming into this great, wonderful life. Folks, I've entered into it. I don't just say that as a word of saying. I've entered into it. I live in it. I walk in it. It's my life. It's my world. It's my happiness. It's my joy. It's my jubilance. I'm rejoicing all the time because the Bible said, they that be of a merry heart have a continual feast. I have a merry heart, and I am in a continual feast, for he feedeth me all the time. I just love this. I just love it. I love this, of being in his presence, of being in his word, of being in his life, of his quickening, of his inspiration. May the good Lord bless you and help you. Remember tonight, remember us when you pray, because we need your prayers.